Hello, welcome to another episode of the Two Harbors Consulting Podcast. I'm George Zack. In a moment, I'll be joined by my colleagues from Two Harbors Consulting, same of my lead appraisers and management consultants, Becky Fitzgerald and Tom Klein. In this episode, we talk about a variety of topics, including the differences, similarities, and the value add of appraisals and audits. Before I cue up that conversation, let me orient you here a little bit to a few topics that we discuss. First, we reference the Capability Maturity Model Integrated, or the CMMI. That's an improvement model that I have a link to in the show notes. Also, you'll hear us talk quite a bit about a program that's a collaboration between the Food and Drug Administration, the FDA, and industry partners as part of an organization called MDIC, the Medical Device Innovation Consortium, a program called the Medical Device Discovery Appraisal Program. I know that's a lot of acronyms, but in this program, essentially medical device manufacturers partner with the CMMI Institute to have a CMMI appraisal performed. Now, if that seems very specific to the medical device industry and perhaps you're not as interested because you don't play in that space, I'd say give this a listen anyway, because this is really a conversation about improving your business performance processes, improving your quality, as well as adhering to the necessary standards and regulations that are applicable to your business. So there's applicability everywhere, even outside of the medical device world. Of course, if we reference some acronyms or concepts that are not clear, drop us a note. You can always contact us at info@2hctwohc.com. And to that note, before we begin, if you're enjoying these podcasts, or if you have improvement information that you'd like to provide us related to these podcasts, let us know. Drop us a note at that email address. We'd love to hear from you. Let us know what else you'd like to hear us discuss, and let us know if you're even interested in being a guest on the podcast. Also, if you're enjoying the podcast, please pass it on to a friend or a colleague that you think would benefit from hearing it. Let's keep moving the continuous performance improvement conversation forward. One more announcement before I cue up the conversation with Becky and Tom. We here at Two Harbors Consulting are very pleased to announce that we'll be partnering with the great team over at Greenlight Guru on their first ever virtual quality summit that's coming up June 2nd through the 4th. You can find a registration link to that in the show notes. We'd love to see you there. I will be speaking on June 4th about remote audits and, in light of some of the recent current events, what makes for a positive experience in a remote audit and what are some of the challenges that you might face. Okay, so without further ado, let's jump into the conversation with Becky and Tom.
Okay, so I've hit record, and as you might guess, we've already probably been talking for 15, 20 minutes on the topics that we're going to talk about here in this podcast, but again, joined with my colleagues, Becky and Tom. And one of the best parts of this job that I've had over the years is the conversations that I get to have with my colleagues at Two Harbors on process improvement, business performance, models, regulation. I used to call these the butcher paper conversations because they started in a restaurant where they happen to have butcher paper on the table, and we end up coming to conclusions and disagreements and agreements on all aspects of process improvement. It's actually some of the most thought-provoking stuff that I get to enjoy with Becky and Tom and others. Today, we're going to continue one of those conversations that we often have and tying it back to some of the questions that we've recently received on some of the work that we're doing in the medical device space. Most of you probably know that Two Harbors Consulting is a part of the Medical Device Discovery Appraisal Program, also known as the Case for Quality Voluntary Improvement Program. And this is a program where CMMI appraisals of medical device manufacturers are performed. And we could do a whole podcast just on what that program's about. I would certainly recommend you go back to the MDIC website or the CMMI website and look up MDDAP. And find the webinars and information there on that. If you have questions, of course, you can hit us up on that particular program. But what I want to kick around today are some of the in-between-the-line questions that Becky, Tom, and I get on this type of program and some of the differences, even broader than just the program itself, but kick around some of the concepts that we hear the folks that we deal with, they ask us about. I wouldn't say quite struggle with, but some of the things that they ask us about. And one of the ones that comes out of the gate is as we approach an organization saying we're going to do one of these appraisals, the entire idea of what's the difference between this appraisal and a typical type of audit that is performed, either one that they do internally, an internal quality audit, or one that they would have performed on them by an external body, like a notified body. And what's the distinction between those? Because we really make a strong, we draw a strong line, I think here. I'm going to turn to Becky, because Becky and I have talked about this a lot. We draw a strong line in this terminology difference between an audit and an appraisal. And Becky, I've really enjoyed this conversation with you over the 2 years of this program and even prior to this. What are some of the key distinctions that you see in that language and what those words mean when approaching a medical device organization, the differences between an appraisal and an audit?
George, I think that you queued that up very effectively and very diplomatically, because George and I, for example, sometimes come on very different sides of we start in different places and almost always come together in the over the course of the discussion for both of us. So for me, I'm going to make a clear distinction about something. When you say audit, for the purposes of what I'm about to say, I'm talking about FDA audits. I'm talking about an outside objective observer coming in and conducting an audit. And I am an appraiser, not an auditor. So I want to be very clear that my experience base is from the appraisal side of the house. The things that I see that seem the most different to me in a compliance model versus an appraisal model, or an external audit model versus an appraisal model, is that there's an on, off, right, wrong, yes, no, very clear set of regs that get interpreted either as being met or not being met, kind of a light switch. And the appraisal approach is an incremental improvement over time approach. So it's more of a dialing up your capabilities. So it's an understanding where the organization is, describing it back to them. So not so much right, wrong, but just reality. And then assisting them in going forward in improving over time. Now, in the MDAP program or the medical device program, keep in mind that the organizations must have already met the regulatory requirements. So they're already meeting the table stakes or the minimum compliance requirements. This gets added, the appraisal activities get added on top of that. But for me, those are the big differences, right, wrong versus dialing, moving the dial.
I like Becky's examples of a light switch versus the set of dials. I hadn't thought about it in that context before. Like Becky, I have history of looking at audits more as a compliance right-wrong thing versus using it as a set of guidance for improvement. Over the last couple of years, I think I'm starting to see that audits and appraisals can be the same thing if they are done correctly. We've seen bad appraisals and bad appraisers doing interpretation of the CMMI framework in strange ways. And I think we've seen or been a part of audits that did the same thing. Luckily, most of our appraisal experience has been the opposite. It's been positive and turning the dials like Becky is describing. And the audits that I've been a part of, or I've seen George or Jim perform, or other folks from some of our partners or the FDA even, that it really, the audit can be performed in the same kind of way. They look at the regulatory items or that framework as a guideline for improvement. So both can be done badly and both can be done really well. And I think my history has been that an audit was more of the light switch thing versus the turning the dials. So I'm also learning about that.
I you guys know I love this conversation, and it's why I queued up this question, since we get it so much from the organizations that we deal with. And Becky and I, over the years, you know, Becky has been the person I think that is very sensitive to word selection. You know, Becky and I have even gone around and around about whether we call the things that we note in an appraisal observations or weaknesses or opportunities or gaps, and really trying to dial that into the needs of the organization. And so this entire conversation on appraisal versus audit, I think, becomes a bit of that. You know, what's the vernacular that you're using, and how to dial an organization in? And it's made for some great conversation. I think both of you, from my perspective, are hitting on the key topic here, which is, regardless if it's an appraisal or regardless if it's an audit, it is how you approach that activity, is that's what sets the tone for it, right? So you guys have all heard me use this example before, but when my son was looking to go out on a Friday night and wanted the car keys, you know, my question back as the pain in the butt father would be, is your room clean? Well, guess what? Now we've immediately gone into a compliance sort of mode. What is the minimum on off light bulb switch to get, you know, to say the room is clean, I'm in compliance, I can get the keys to the car and I can head out. Don't look under the bed, by the way. Don't look in the closet, and let's not necessarily do continuous improvement appraisal of my room. And so I think if you're approaching an appraisal as a, you know, what is the minimum necessary to check the box to say I've met the intent of a practice in the model, or if you are approaching an audit with a minimum check the box, what's the documentation I need to provide to say that I've met the expectations of the quality system regulation, the FDA regulation, if we're talking about that 820 or any of the other related ones. Yes, it's what's the minimal steps I need to take to get across that particular line. Whereas I think, and some don't agree with me, that you can look at the QSR and you can leverage that as a continuous improvement approach.
Right.
But for whatever it is that, you know, business as it is, practical expectations, it's, you know, people do approach that from a minimal compliance perspective. And one of the huge benefits or the epiphany moments that you get out of the CMMI appraisal and in the MDAP program is that tone, for right or for wrong, is typically shifted so that organizations can look at this and turning that dial up and saying, oh, how can we do this in a way that actually helps us continue to improve?
I think I've used that tone that you just described in past medical device appraisals because it was kind of an easy way to reframe this as something different. You know, their experience is with FDA audits or other kinds of notified body audits, and they're scary and they're expensive and they take a lot of work and a lot of documentation. So if I can very easily say, this is not an audit, like the audit is the boogeyman in the closet, then all of a sudden I'm better than an audit. So it reframes the way that they are going to approach this activity. It is a different kind of activity. The approach is different, but I have stopped doing that mostly because of what the feedback I'm hearing from George is that the audit isn't bad. We don't want to paint that in a dark or negative way. We want to use that as a point of contrast, but not a negative point of contrast. And George, I thought the example, or I hoped the example you were going to mention is that of a driving test here in the U.S.
Yeah.
In Missouri, at least, children can start driving at age 15 with a permit.
And that should be illegal.
Some of our friends in Europe and Asia may be very surprised or dismayed about that, almost as much as we are. but as a father of a 15-year-old daughter who is starting to drive, I often think of George's example of his son learning to drive, that he may be compliant because he's passed the test, but it doesn't mean that he is a good driver yet. And that comes with experience and improvement. Going back to the light switch example, I don't know how many stacked analogies we can do. I think we look at, and many people perform audits like that light switch, or congratulations, I've passed my driver's test. And we look at audits and appraisals more like that improvement activity that comes after you're meeting the minimum or meeting the regulations, however you've interpreted them, and started to make them your own and really apply them so that they help the organization while being a safe quality organization as well. Just like what I hope my daughter will do, just like her siblings who have gone before her.
And I think that's absolutely, I agree with everything the two of you have just said, in addition to pointing that the objective can be, it all boils down to what's your objective of this activity, right? So if your objective is to arrive at the fewest possible results, if that's my objective, I want to prove that I am meeting some finish line, some end line. I want to prove that I have attained X or Y. And as an organization, my objective, therefore, is to put on the best face I could possibly put on. If that's my goal, is to get some certificate for the wall or some achievement, then that's what I would want to do. Now, if my goal, though, is to understand in an appraisal, the objective is to learn as much as you can about the organization as candidly as possible. And an organization is less likely to hide if they don't have some sort of a predefined end line in mind or goal or finish line. I think there's an aspect of this, to just sort of take it another direction, where we get asked frequently, okay, then, so what's the relationship between CMMI and QSR? And hey, why don't you just give us some maps? Just map between the two and tell us what to do. And I think at this point, I'm going to toss the ball back to George because he has the most direct experience with this mapping exercise and how it's used.
Sure. So the CMMI framework is organized. There's practice areas in 2.0 and practices. And the quality system regulation, of course, is organized by parts and or even 1345, the ISO standard for medical devices. You know, that's broken down into clauses. And so certainly maps exist. And at the risk of sounding like a consultant, how much those maps connect very much is a it depends exercise. So I've gone on the looking for the end of the rainbow sort of map hunt as well, and helped craft those. And there's places where you'd see where the CMMI model, an ISO standard, and the QSR map really nicely together. The example I often give there is supplier management or purchasing. If you look at 820.50 and you look at the supplier agreement management practice area or the supplier selection practice area, and you look at the applicable clauses in 1345, you look at those and they all map up pretty nicely. And if you're doing good supplier agreement management, and we can have probably a whole discussion as to what that means, you're probably going to meet the intent of all of those there. Now, that said, you could still be, even though you're meeting the intent of those practices or those ISO clauses, you might still have significant supply chain issues. Tom mentioned in the last podcast that this recent pandemic has certainly made a lot of organizations recognize their supply chain concerns. And you may or may not have identified those effectively in any of those approaches if you were looking just to check the box and saying that you met those particular clauses. So, you know, a map there may not necessarily help you from a business perspective. There's other places where the mapping, it just doesn't make sense. There's not necessarily a mapping. You know, within the QSR, there's clearly a concept of a design history file. Those in the European space are very familiar with the concept of a technical file as well. You can look all day in CMMI, and you're not going to find the words design history file anywhere. Now, you could certainly leverage practices within the CMMI model that would help you get there. A design history file has got all sorts of things related to design inputs and design outputs and verification and validation, and there's practices in the model that set you up for that. But all of a sudden, your map becomes very much many to many, not even one to many or many to one, but you're kind of all over the place. And so a map becomes very much it depends exercise. Additionally, I think to the point that you're trying to steer me towards, Becky, the map really just doesn't set you up to say, okay, just because I've done this thing over here in my QSR or my quality system or for the ISO standard, okay, now I've met entirely the intent of the CMMI practice. If that's really your intent, then again, I think you are looking at this just from a compliance perspective, just to check the box and not necessarily looking to improve. Right. So generally, when asked about maps, I try to discourage that conversation. I think it's, again, referencing back to a prior podcast, it's a bit of a tell when an organization is asking that. It may not necessarily be an adverse tell. It might just reflect the maturity of the organization and how they're leveraging or looking to use the CMMI model. And I really try to discourage that because it's not really effective to improve the organization in as so much as you're just, you know, saying where everything is from a document perspective.
Right. It's less of a value add activity. That's my experience as well.
Yeah. I think related to this, this entire concept of appraisals and audits and the maps between the CMMI and QSR, another common question that we have received for medical device organizations when performing CMMI appraisals is, especially in the MDAP program, why are we not leveraging the very common approach of a maturity level? The CMMI has long been known for its maturity levels of 1 through 5, and that an organization, by leveraging the CMMI model, comes out with this, hey, we're level 2 or we're level 3, and there's that particular certificate on the wall as to where that organization's at. But we explicitly don't use that approach in the medical device discovery appraisal program. Tom, what's your opinion as to why we don't do that?
Well, this is a much longer conversation potentially as well. But the short answer, I think, from all of our conversations is that when you start pursuing a maturity level, you are focusing on an end game, like how am I meeting these practices entirely, versus the intent that we are looking for with these customers is, let's determine where you are in these practices and let's continue to improve. We have seen in a number of cases, not all, but in a number of cases, that when you pursue a maturity level, different behaviors start cropping up. That just becomes the target versus just one stop in a much longer improvement journey.
What would you add to that, Becky?
I would add that when the voluntary improvement program was being defined, when we were laying out the parameters of the program, one of the things that we recognized was that treating organizations that are contributing, it was, what are the goals of this whole program? So it's a whole bigger conversation. But briefly, if the goal of the program is to create incremental improvement across industry, we couldn't have industry players comparing themselves to each other, because as soon as you put in that sort of competitive maturity level rating edge to a voluntary program, you turn it into the organization's behavior changes. They try to hide things. They want to get that, you know, they want to look better. They want to put on a good face for the public space or for each other. And in the program, by expressly removing a particular target, it allows organizations to just engage and improve from wherever they are in the best way that they can for their organization. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I had actually forgot, Becky, over these conversations that competitive aspect of what I really recall it being about was, if you set out a maturity level as the expectation, that it would be, okay, let's get across that bar, across that line, and that we're good. You know, we've set the expectation as to where we need to be, and great. But I think you're absolutely right. That was actually very much a part of the conversation as well, is that comparison piece from organization to organization was also an active consideration when choosing not to select maturity levels. I think this does, you know, this does raise another question for, again, maybe for another podcast, is if we have chosen not to pursue maturity levels in this voluntary improvement program or MDAP program, and that those are one and the same. It's just, there's been name changes over the years as to what that is. It begs the question as to the applicability of maturity levels in other spaces as well. And that would probably be its own butcher paper conversation.
For sure.
That we kick around. So, okay, let's bring this home. Anything else then on appraisals, audits, CMMI to QSR or ISO standard maps and maturity levels? So this set of questions that we seem to get asked frequently from the organizations that we're engaging with. Anything else that you guys want to bring to this?
To the comment about comparison, I don't think we've completely eliminated comparison by not using the maturity levels. There are still groups that are looking at the number of opportunities found or a percentage score or something like that. But I do think we have, all of the appraisers in this community have effectively shifted the conversation from that comparison side to, the only one you're competing against is yourself. So figure out where you want to go. I think one of the other thoughts about maturity levels is that sometimes those can include a packaged group of practices. And within the medical device program, we've really encouraged groups to look at the standard scope of the medical device, the, what's expected, but then also to expand that scope to be covering areas that might be of interest, might be a challenge, or might be a way of connecting themselves to their suppliers or themselves to other divisions of the company. This program has been exceptional in allowing groups to improve in the ways that they need to improve. And the more we focus on that improvement aspect versus the congratulations, you've met all 12 practices aspect, I think that's where this program and the customers are successful.
Yeah, that comparison is so, it's so hard. I think it's such a, it's innate in our human condition, right? So those organizations that are participating in the program that have multiple facilities, or even not, naturally, it's a very common question of when we provide results back in any appraisal, well, how did we look compared to everybody else in the program? Or how did we look compared to, you know, the facility down the street that, that's in our organization? I know that we try to discourage those comparisons because of those reasons that you mentioned, but those sorts of comparisons can become very much in the hearts and the minds of those people. And you see it, I think, naturally in those organizations as well. Becky, I think you're going to weigh in there, and I may have cut you off.
No, not at all. I was agreeing with you. I was just making noises of agreement, which is my tendency. Exactly. So, you know, the it boils back for me with what you do with it and what your objectives are. So this comparison can be a good thing if you are leveraging your how you're doing today with how you were doing yesterday in trying to improve your own capabilities and use the other information, you know, the population type information as just that. It's an additional information input. When you're talking about multiple facilities within the same organization, how those organizations choose to interpret the outcomes and determine the next steps. So one of the organizations that we work with makes sure that those facilities that are in most, that are struggling capability-wise, that are at the lower level, lower capabilities, get the support, attention, finances that they need to become more capable. So it's sort of an inverse benefit for that organization, for those facilities, in terms of inverse to their capabilities and the potential support from the organization. So the organization puts its energies toward those facilities that are most in need, that are most looking for that support. So it's setting the context correctly and having these organizations leverage the outputs of the appraisals for their own benefit over time, so they don't get too focused on particular activities. Turning a box from red to green might not be the goal of the organization, but improving how we interact with our suppliers and leveraging supplier agreements in a more effective way might be.
Great. So I think with that, let us know what you think. Appraisals, audits, assessments, internal quality audits, notified body audits, maps between QSR and ISO 1345 and CMMI, maturity levels, capability levels, anything related to any of those topics. Let us know what you think. Drop us a note. Becky, Tom, again, thank you for your time and yet another butcher paper conversation. I look forward to having more with you in the future.
Thanks, George.
Well, I hope you enjoyed that conversation with Becky and Tom as much as I did. Before we let you go from this particular episode, let me see if I can drop a few key takeaways for you. While we discussed the differences and the similarities between appraisals and audits, keep in mind that we were really not saying that one was superior or inferior to the other, that the value add of appraisals and audits really comes from the tone that you set and then what it is that you do with the information that you collect from those particular activities. Be it an appraisal or an audit, what you learn from that and then how you improve from that really is what's most important. So don't consider a completion of a CMMI appraisal or an inspection from the FDA or any other regulatory body or even an internal quality audit as the finish line, but it's really the start line for your next improvement opportunity. What you do with that and how you learn from that really is what's important. Thanks again for listening.